It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out radio show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. Who did the world of professional wrestling recruit as the ultimate heel? Forming the Dangerous Alliance and body slammed his way into immortality?
Yo, police!
When Atlas needed a break from holding up the world, who did the gods of Mount Olympus beckon?
Yo, police!
Now, this worldly ex-grappler has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, thank the gods he's only on the radio for an hour. Paul LaVoy.
His pronouns are he, him, and hungry. Really?
All right, welcome to Speak Out. It's Monday, July 13, 2026, broadcasting live from the Speak Out Kitchen with no sink, and Brother Jim Russell back from my favorite place on earth.
Yes, one of Morro Bay.
I think Cambria's taken over, though.
Could well. I really...
It's so pretty up there.
It is. It is a different world.
So is it true there's really cold air up there?
There was so cold air. I had... You know, you cannot live in Havasu and pack to go anywhere. Whatever you think is wrong when you try to pack to leave here. And I never thought of bringing long pants. I never thought of a jacket. And fortunately, I think my daughter knows I'm an idiot. And she suggested that and a jacket. And I said, a jacket? You know,
how heavy?
Was 114.
How heavy, though?
Well, I said, wouldn't a sweatshirt do? Oh, thank God, because when I got out of the truck, 4 o'clock Wednesday afternoon, I didn't take that sweatshirt off.
Wow! So the coldest summer you ever spent was in Morro Bay.
It was.
Wow!
It was 65 degrees at 4 o'clock Wednesday afternoon.
I can't wait.
Yeah. Well, we blazed a trail for
you. I'm in Cambria on the first. And Ragged Point on the 4th, I believe.
Cool.
So, yeah, that whole week. Anyway, John Grappentine is here. You might have heard him in the background mumbling, folks.
How you doing?
How are you?
I was just impressed with, when you go anywhere, you have to wear a jacket. Just even going back into California, if I have to visit family, I'm like, what the heck has happened?
Yeah, the world has changed.
Well, pretty soon you'll probably have to carry papers to go into California. I'm just saying. John is the write-in candidate for Lake Havasu City Mayor, in case everyone's wondering. This is your second time on.
Yeah, my second time. Great.
Like I'm telling all the mayoral candidates, the second time around, we're going to talk about what you want to talk about.
Sure.
And, John has ball cap on right now,
yes.
And he had the boom from the mic straight up, and I'm like, that dude looks like a fireman.
That's how we used to do it when you ride around.
How many years in the fire service?
I did 30, 27 full-time, but 30 with my reserve time.
Wow.
Yeah.
What's the difference between the two?
Well, reserve, you know, you get all certified and, you know, go through the academy, and like in our case, you know, EMT and all that stuff, and then you are fortunate enough to maybe get on with a department that has some volunteer or an apprentice program, and that's what I did for 3 years with the city of Laverne, and then was fortunate enough when I tested for them to then get hired full time.
Where's Laverne?
It's right by Pomona. So everybody knows Pasadena, and it's about 30 miles east of Pasadena, just before Claremont, up in the foothills.
I always like to think Pomona is, you know, the radio guy's dream, Pomona County Speedway, right?
Yeah, yeah. I love the drag strips there. And
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bracket Jim airport. Knows.
Yes, indeed. Well, and we were having a good conversation off the air. Definitely, John is qualified to live in Havasu and probably equally qualified to be mayor because he's into hot rods and street
rods. He's a gearhead.
So yeah. That's all that matters.
Yep, that's 66 Nova. Hopefully, we'll be on the road here shortly.
I was going to say, tell us about your pet project.
Well, you know, so I did a 66 Mustang with my son, and, you know, it's kind of funny when you're going to have your first kid say he wants to have his first vehicle, you're thinking, okay, he's going to buy a Toyota or whatever it's going to be. And we happen to be driving, because we always go to breakfast, and we'd happen to be driving in this little 66 Mustang sitting out there, and I'm thinking, oh, man, I only have a certain amount of money, son. You know, I'm a fireman. I don't make a lot of money. And so it was actually a godsend because the gentleman that was selling it was actually a good friend of my captain's. When I put the money together, he said he would do that. And so that was our first car together. We restored that. And then when I got ready to retire, I said, now this is my time.
Very good.
I found a 66 Nova that I really wanted to do, and the gentleman sold it to me. And so that's been my project, and that's what I wanted for my retirement gift graduation. So, yeah, the wife was on board with it, and she's excited about it. So.
Very Always cool. important to get Very the Department cool. of War and Finance on board, right?
Right.
But I must ask that Mustang, was that your son's first car?
First car.
And it was a birthday gift for his first car?
Yep.
Incredibly, the daughter that I visited this last week, for her 16th birthday, I gave her a 65 Mustang convertible, which she still has.
Wow. Yeah.
What a coincidence.
That's crazy.
Isn't that?
The coupe, obviously.
Right. Yeah. And his was the coupe. And what was nice about it was the original owner. They had already pulled the motor, it had it all redone, the transmission, and then the original air conditioning. The only thing that wasn't original is they gave me the original pump because they started a leak, so they put the newer style pump in for the new stuff, and it was all original.
Gosh.
Original air conditioner 10 years earlier would have been that deal right in the window, right?
Yeah.
With the ice, the dry ice in it.
Yeah, but it was the one down, you know, and you turned it on, and
it hung great. Under the dash.
Correct, yeah.
How much pull on the motor did they have back then?
You know what? His didn't do so bad. It had the original two-barrel carburetor on it, so we moved that over to a four-barrel just to kind of wake it up a little bit, and the little car ran great.
Yeah.
He had that all the way through high school, and it's funny because I wanted him to understand, just like my dad did, if you can work with your hands, you'll never go hungry, and so I wanted him to understand how to work on cars and how to do those things, and so he helped me all the way through it. And he took pride in that. So, you know, he would park it. I'd see it at high school. Like, oh, because, you know, being a fireman, and he went to the high school where I worked. And so I could drive by, and I'm like, oh, good. He parked it way out there. No door ding.
Exactly.
Yeah, but he really took pride in the
car. You know, I don't want to name any cities in the tri-state, but this one's probably the best for that. You can park between, and they're really conscious of it.
Right.
But there are cities and areas in the tri-state that are, just really, I mean, I park all alone up in one of the hotel garages where I used to work. I come back and there's a door ding, you know. Yeah. You gotta be kidding me.
They seek you out.
They
to get
do.
Your door.
They absolutely. So I asked John, when I let him know, we could talk about pretty much anything today that you want to talk about. That means the phone's got to ring. The texts have got to come in, and I've got a couple things noted, but 928-854-5687, 928-854-KNTR is the number, or you can text us at 928-727-5566. Make this talk radio and text radio, not just listen radio, right?
Yes.
Absolutely.
And I've got one.
Sure.
Why on earth do you want to be mayor?
Well, you know, going from a long line of helping people and in my career, when I moved here, I was watching and I was looking at everything. And I've been out here permanently for a little over 5 years, but been coming out here for 30. I've seen the dynamic and how we've grown, and I've been watching the mid people, and I'm talking about the young and the people that are trying to raise families here, how they're struggling. And so there's a disconnect and so I couldn't just idly stand by and watch this happen when I said I have a plan and I have some good ideas to move this town forward to keep them here. You know, when I see these young adults always telling me that soon as they graduate high school, they want to leave. It breaks my heart. And so the family dynamic that we are now 62,000 people, and I'm like, so yes, we do have tourism, and yes, we do have retirees, but we have a midsection that really needs to have help. And then I looked at our healthcare, and there's a lot of things that need to be fixed here, because as we've grown so fast, we haven't been able to really capture that and make sure that that's stronger. And internally, we really need to be stronger about those things. So I said, you know what? I want to help everyone. I want to make sure everybody's prosperous here, and I want to be able to make sure we drive this forward into the future to where when we go to 80,000 people that we are doing the right things for everyone and not just going to the old school way. And so I don't want to upset the apple cart on how we look and how we feel and how we're a small town, but we internally need to be stronger. And so having that background and having that expertise, I was like, you know what? No, nobody's going to be left behind. It's from our youth getting their better programs so they have things, an indoor facility so they can get out of the heat and continue them into sports and have that family dynamic. But also, our mid-range people, when we're having babies here, they shouldn't have to be flown away from each other if something happens. Yes, they can have them here, but a lot of them are going to Vegas and other cities. No, our healthcare has to be better. We have to be able to capture that. And then getting good-paying career jobs here so these families can thrive here, buy a home, and stay here, and these kids know they have hope. And it's our school projects. It's everything that we need to do with these youth.
Well, it's to me, and I might take some heat for this. Okay, so be it, but it's not just about high-paying jobs, good-paying jobs for the youth. It's about financial literacy, too.
Correct.
You see so many young people, 25, 35, 45, they're falling into that, oh, I got to have that. I got to have that, you know. Or especially with the boats, the side-by-sides, that sort of thing. We need, I don't know how the city would do this or the school district or what, but we need some financial literacy.
Well,
it's
education.
With our youth.
You know, and it's educating these youth and these families. Not to say that they're dumb. They're not. They're but who's put them?
What you don't know, you don't know.
Right. And so going, and you know, I remember going, I was a brand new fireman and I thought I was going to buy the big truck and stuff. And I got told by a gentleman, come here. No. You know, what you need to do is you need to, these are the steps you want to do, right? You want to make sure you save and you do these things, and then you get in front of the right people. And I was fortunate enough with my mom. My mom was an escrow officer. I had no clue how to buy a home. And so she sat me down and she said, this is how you do it. And, you know, these things. And so learning all that, that's where we have the disconnect. And I want to make sure that we have our, and I don't want to call them our seniors because they're not, they're seasoned veterans. And our youth into a program to where we get them in touch with each other, and we do a town hall type of situation where we bring everybody together, and these people that have good ideas that have been there, they can educate them. And whether, I mean, it could be in finances, it could be how to buy a home, I want the real estate agents there, I want the lenders there, so they can understand, hey, I do have an opportunity. And then we will get better paying jobs here, yes, but there's actually some really good jobs here that people don't even know about, so it's called marketing. We need to market what's here so these people know what's here. And then we want the young businesses or the small businesses here, if they can expand or they can thrive, we need to help them do that. Then they can hire more on, and then we see what else we need. Right. And then we plug that in.
You told me earlier when you came in, you met with Judge Kalali.
Yes, I did.
Was this go in and meet Judge Kalali yourself? What was the initiative for that?
No, that was a passion of mine. You know, I'd heard about through another person that had talked to me about the Veterans Court here. And, you know, the veterans are near and dear to my heart because obviously coming from a blue line where I work, you know, my dad was an officer, my grandfather was a fireman, I was a fireman, but our military has always been near and dear to my heart. I really wanted to learn what they did, and so it took some time to get to them and to set that program up and to be able to talk with him and his staff. And I'm going to tell you, I came out of that with it was a humbling and rewarding experience. Mm-hmm. And what he does over there for those veterans and his staff and all the volunteers, and we're talking, I talked to all of them. It is super incredible, and I really want to enhance that and give him what he needs too. But his whole demeanor and how he runs that is second to none. And my wife went with me. We went to the graduation. We were invited to that, and we also went down to his courtroom afterwards and watched his proceedings. And the amount of respect he gets from these veterans, because he doesn't give up on them, the staff doesn't give up on them, all the volunteers and these veterans that are doing the program with him out of the kindness of their heart to help them, and the band of brothers here, they are just amazing. And so it was really enlightening, and I tell him, you know what, you are second to none, and the program they have here is just amazing.
Right. I don't know if you know this, but You being a former baseball player, mm-hmm. I was involved in high school athletics pretty mm-hmm. heavy, later on as a referee. Judge K played for Lavelle Edwards at BYU.
I did not know that. He never said that.
Yeah, no, he wouldn't.
Although we got into other subjects, but I should have asked
but
him.
When he said BYU in football, I went, wait a minute, did you play for Lavelle Edwards? And yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, crazy, right?
Wow.
Yeah, that's just like, I mean, we're talking about a legend here.
Yeah.
Jim, we're talking like Don Prudhomme-like legend, okay?
Yeah.
Is that good?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
You would think, right?
Yeah.
All right. Hey, folks, the Joyride Auto Spa now open in the old Car Toys location. For now, customers can receive the discounted hand washes at $39 for a discounted hand wash and watch the company's remodel unfold. Current hours, 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. Monday through Saturday. And, yeah, check the forecast today. Might want to go down there and see if anyone's got a rag in their head. Because sometimes on cloudy days in Havasu, car washes just go, you know what?
Yeah.
It's a wash. You like that? And, yeah, I wanted to comment, tomorrow is Bastille Day.
Yes.
That's French Independence Day.
Uh-huh.
And France plays Spain tomorrow.
Oh.
Yeah, I wouldn't bet against France.
They're pretty good.
They're pretty good, yeah. Spain hasn't been scored on, but France on Bastille Day, that's like us playing on July 4th.
Yes.
Which we didn't. We played on the 6th. So, yeah, we know how that worked out. All right, Speak Out will continue in a moment with John Grappentine. He is the write-in candidate for Lake Havasu City Mayor. Jim Russell is here, too.
Yes, not running for mayor.
I got a comment to you during the break about that shirt, by the way. You got the IHRA shirt on, right?
Yes.
All right, perfect. Back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Lavoie. Stay with us on Speak Out. Here's some Elvis. I just want to get out there on the floor and do my Elvis thing, right, baby?
Yeah.
That's right. Elvis is in the building.
C.C. Rider, that's an Elvis cover. I think C.C. Rider was perhaps 1958.
I don't know, baby. All I know is he did the best version.
Yeah, well, yes. Yeah,
that's all I'm saying. There's another one. I can't remember what song it is, but he goes in the middle of it in rehearsal. They go into a Beatles song. Get Back. I'll have to find it. Oh, it's Little Sister. He does a rehearsal of Little Sister and goes right into Get Back by the Beatles.
Funny.
Yeah. That's pretty wild. So, all right. Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. Also, Mojave Electric Cooperative by Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, TWN Fiber Internet, Salmon's Air Conditioning, Western Arizona Regional Medical Center in Bullhead City, and, of course, and we had the pizza delivered by Dallas himself.
Oh, did you?
A week ago tomorrow. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Booby Falls Restaurant and Rodeo. I'm going to tell you right now. Somebody said the other day on Facebook, what's the best pizza in Havasu? And I said Booby Falls.
No kidding.
I've never had a pepperoni pizza that I really liked a lot. The pepperoni wasn't overpowering. The sauce is amazing. And the pineapple peep show is fantastic. Yeah, the pineapple and Canadian bacon.
So he gave you like a mixture?
He gave us two pizzas.
Oh, okay.
And they're all the same size. They're about a medium.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, my gosh.
Huh. Good. Well, that's quite a recommendation.
Yeah, it was for the Girl Power Hour.
Oh, okay.
Pow! There, I did it for you, ladies. All right. John Grappentine, our guest, writing candidate for Lake Havasu City Mayor. And you already lit up the text line, by the way. So we have a text that came in. And it's 928-727-5566 if you want your text read on the air. No personal opinions, please. A problem with a lot of these companies in town is they charge big city prices but don't pay big city wages. John, how do you respond to that?
Well, you know, unfortunately, you can't tell somebody what they can and can't charge or what they're going to, you know, pay somebody. But you can try to go over there and negotiate with them and say, you know, we need to try to see what we can do about bringing wages up. And But unfortunately, that is kind of a, you know, it's no different than my gym. You know, we pay certain people to be there and, you know, what we can and can't afford. And unfortunately, that's something that you just want to really try to advocate, that we need to get some of those pays up.
But let's talk about that. In my opinion, we need more people that make payroll on government, you know, as government officials.
Right.
Whether it be mayor, city council, or whatever, county supervisors. You make payroll. You're a business owner.
Right, right.
Tell us about that.
Well, you know, obviously there's a lot of other things that go into payroll, you know, that I don't think a lot of people understand, you know, so when we have payroll at our business, you know, there's other things that come out of that. And, you know, you have not only the employee tax you have to pay, but you have to pay the business tax on top of it. And it gets quite expensive. And before you know it, you know, there's really not enough profit for you to keep your doors open. So you have to be very, very clear on how you're going to, what you're going to pay and what you can't afford for that hourly wage. And, of course, you want to be competitive. You want people to be able to come and work for you and make a decent living. But you also need to understand that depending on what that profit margin is and to keep your electricity and your rent and all that stuff, there's a lot of extra things that go into that, you know, workman's comp insurance and all the other stuff that goes into it.
And you're in a business, correct me if I'm wrong, but margins aren't real great with,
no.
I mean, I can tell because with gyms, they go in and out, just
right.
like restaurants do.
Well, the other thing you have to do is you have to look into the percentage, you know, monthly, depending on what you have, you're going to have, you know, memberships that either cancel or and then you're getting new members in. So you have to have that influx, and you have to have that little buffer there for you because you don't
sure.
know. You know?
Yeah.
Right, right. One of the topics you wanted to talk about is the commons. We didn't get to that the last time you were on
right,
there.
Right. You know, the commons area, you know, as it was a great idea, I don't think it was, again, it wasn't well thought through. And when I say that, before you even build that, and other cities have a area like that, that they're really, really thriving with their community. And here, we didn't do that. We kind of fell short. And that's, again, that forward thinking. And on the commons area here, we continue to throw money at it that we just shouldn't be throwing any more at it. But we need to fix it. And so I will fix that the way it should be fixed. And that should be for the citizens. That's their tax dollars. So the things that should be permanent there, I know they have a partial stage where they can move in and out. No, that's not what should have been there. There should have been an amphitheater built into that. So now we can have concerts there. We can have plays. We can have all the things. But it also should have been dubbed that we could have concerts in the park. But not only that, but movie nights. We could have the things for the citizens that pay for that. And we should add some shade trees. There should be other things involved in that. And the bathrooms are fine. But that should have been done better. And it should be done one time. And, you know, the steel structure that they have there that continues to have to be fixed and all that should be scrapped, and that should be done a different way. We should maybe have some different type of shading there. That maybe in the winter months you take that down and you store it, and then you bring it back out. But there should have been trees. There should have been other things done to where that's utilized. I look at it as game nights. I look at it as and then in the summertime we could have a splash day for the kiddos. We can now have our small businesses there, you know, showing their stuff, selling it. Then we have all the food trucks. We have all these different events that now these people can come and not only going to the restaurants there, but then they go over. And now it's a community event. We have game night there. We have all those things that's what it should be used for as a community, and it's not being used that way.
Well, now the incumbents on the council, and I'm going to play devil's advocate
sure.
here, would tell you, and we found this out at the candidates forum, mm-hmm. that this was all public input. They want to blame the public.
Well,
there's blame to be had, I'm saying.
Well, I can get into a whole other monster on that, and you know, they don't give the public enough time, and they don't give it enough to where they have a town forum to say, hey, this is what's going on, and where they can really get enough time in. You know, a lot of these projects should have 3 to 6 months to where we are talking to the citizens. There's money. We should not be spending their money until we get good input from them. And I don't think they market that bad.
Not
that
just good. Online input.
No.
They rely a lot online.
Right.
The city does, I've noticed.
Correct. And you can put it online.
It's too easy.
It is very too easy. And then you say, hey, I'm going to be here. You know, and I'm still a big proponent that the mayor has to be full-time now. The mayor should be the one in the forefront with his council. They can be part-time. That's fine. And he should be driving the force. He, with the citizens, hey, this is what it is. Now he has meetings with his council, and then he directs the city manager of what they're doing. Right now, the city manager is running that because they're all part-time, and that can't happen anymore. We're too big and we're too dynamic now to do that. And I've told that I will be doing this full time. And because I want the citizens to know you voted me in, I'm running the city for you because that's who you entrusted to me. So I'm held to a standard. And then the council would be abreast of that situation. We would come to an agreement, and then the city and the citizens would come back, and we would know exactly what's going on, and we would direct what their funds, how they want them directed. Because that's the way it has to be. Because if they don't know, then they get upset, right? It's their money. It's not my money.
You just opened a curiosity box in my brain.
Sure.
Full-time mayor. So salary versus stipend, what would it be?
I don't, you know, I haven't even thought about that because I don't care. So I'm the only candidate that I already get a retirement from my fire department. I already mm-hmm. get, you know, I'm not at Social Security level yet or anything like that, but I already get that. So, and I don't know, Jim, here, I'm doing this out of the kindness of my heart. So that part is minuscule to me. I don't really care. I don't care if it stays the same, but now it's a full-time position. I don't really care because I'm here for the citizens. I want the citizens to understand you vote me in. I'm the one that's running the city for you, and I'm accountable to you. And everybody should be accountable to that. And so the mayor gets hit with it, but he's not accountable because the city manager is running it. So the city manager gets to sit behind the council saying, well, I was voted by you or I was put in by you. No. No, the mayor should be there full-time addressing the citizens. He then addresses with his council, and then they advise the city manager how to run things.
Kindness of your heart.
Yep.
Interesting. Interesting choice of words.
Yes.
How kindness is rewarded, right?
Well, we hope.
I'm just saying. Got a little Driven to Tears by Sting. Paul, why are you playing Live Aid from 1985, Jim S., right?
Yes, I'll ask that.
Because on this date in 1985, Live Aid took place in two venues. Talk about multiple venues.
Oh, yeah?
This was a worldwide
telecast
on a new thing called satellite communications, right?
Yeah.
And, well, not new, but...
New for that application.
Expensive. Very.
Sure.
It was in Philadelphia and London with 75 musical acts.
Yeah,
and I found a few of them on Spotify, of course.
Yes.
Including Sting. He's doing a solo version of Driven to Tears, an unplugged version. I won't go too far into this one, but it's Sting. She's got to pay homage, right? All right.
Very good.
John Grappentine, our guest, write-in candidate for Lake Havasu City Mayor. Man, 1985 seems... Not very long ago.
I know.
But it was.
It was.
It really was. All right, back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. No Googling. All right. What was Live Aid all about?
It was Aid for Africa for the... I don't remember.
What was the country? Do you remember?
The country?
The country that was famineized.
No, I don't.
Do you remember, John?
I don't, but it's on the tip of my tongue.
Ethiopia.
That's what it was.
Okay,
Ethiopia.
Yes.
Yeah, the Ethiopians were in bad shape.
Yeah, of course, probably still are.
Of course, Sam Kinison had his take on it. We won't go there, but anyway, no, this is one of my favorite songs from that era. Paul Young, Every Time You Go Away. Love this song. All right, and it says right on there, July 13th, 1985.
That's crazy.
And we're on the verge of another World Cup final right now. Right? Go Three Lions. That's all I can say. I know I love Argentina in that, but I love England even more.
Yeah.
So, all right, Speak Out brought to you in part by The Chair. Also, Mojave College, Solar Power by Esme Electric, Dorita's Place for Pets, Legacy Rehab and Care, and by A&B Propane, online at abpropaneaz.com. And don't forget to buy local, or it's buy local. Jim, tell them what you think about the sponsors for this show.
Oh, I think they're wonderful. You've got to do business with people wise enough to invest their advertising dollar here.
Okay. There's a question on the Speak Out text line, 928-727-5566. You're being recognized.
Oh, no.
Since you have Jim there, we'll ask both of you guys. What is the possibility of getting a second good-size car and hot rod show in Havasu? I'm assuming you're talking about Run of the Sun.
Well, obviously, that's something near and dear to my heart, but we just talked about this off camera, off thing, so he can go with it.
Off the air?
Off the air.
Okay.
Well, we have a slightly selfish interest there because we own Rockabilly. And Rockabilly had built itself to the point where it was the second largest hot rod show. It's depreciated a bit prior to our purchasing the event. But well, look out, folks. It's back in big time. So bring your street rods and come to Rockabilly. So we essentially have two. Run to the Sun. John and I were talking about Run to the Sun off of the air. It's a fabulous event. But that the relics and rods, you know, they've got 100 people who are working on it right now to make it bigger and better. And it's I used to think that's what all car shows were. They were 3 or 4 day events and things. And it's real high quality, high class, old school.
Doesn't the venue, the golf course, have a lot to do with that, though? The layout and that, that they can take so many. Wouldn't there be a big difference between a Rockabilly car show and that car show because of the golf course versus
pavement, pavement versus grass?
Yes.
Yes, there is. There are enthusiasts for both.
Right.
I thought grass was it because the cars look so fabulous on the grass. And it's nicer to walk around on the grass.
Oh,
and enjoy
much nicer,
it.
Yeah.
But many purists with their high, high dollar street rods would rather not drive them in the grass.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah. Another topic we wanted to talk about. Let's talk about either or both, the Partnership for Economic Development and or Go Lake Havasu.
Well, I think we need to talk about both of them. You know, looking at, and I've heard the controversy on both, and, you know, whenever it comes to taxpayer dollars, you want to also make sure, especially as your new mayor, I want to make sure that your dollars are being spent right. And so I would be looking at those two individual things on a level of where I would want to review the past 5 to 8 years to see what taxpayer money has gone to PED and Go Lake Havasu, and what is the return on the investment, and what goals have they achieved, and what has been promised, and what have they done? You know, we got to measure real results and look and see if those taxpayer dollars are being spent wisely. And if not, then we look at possibly bringing them in house. And there's a couple things. You know, the amount of money that is being spent on both of those, are we getting that return? And you know, it's not just that, but if we bring them in house, do we have the staffing right now that we could, you know, then look at that? And I would look at a model with, even if we have to hire one or two people to do those things, and what that cost would be. And would they be able to do the same thing that is being done now at a cheaper rate, and we would still get that, or would we not? So we're going to do an audit on that. We're going to look at it all, because I think that's what's smart, and then we let the citizens decide, because it's their money. And so you have to get the citizens involved and say, this is the audit, this is what we see, this is the pros for this, this is the cons, and this is what we could do if we brought it in-house, and let them decide. You know, for me, just to say, well, we're bringing it in-house, it isn't my tax dollars. And yes, I would be advising them, but they need to see the real results. And if it's there, great, and they want to continue to spend the money. If it's not, and this is what we can do to save the money, we can do the same results, and then we can do that. But we also, with that, I don't know, but I know in my administration it would, that they would have a walking paper of what we want. And that, again, being full-time, they would understand exactly what the community wants and where we're driving and what businesses we want to go get and what we want to do here. So that way, those tax dollars are being spent that right way. And if it's not working, we will bring those in-house. But we're going to let the citizens decide that.
I think it's a question, is the juice worth the squeeze, is pretty much what you're saying. But Partnership for Economic Development and Go Lake Havasu, two totally different things.
Yeah, correct.
Now, they had BREDA, Bullhead Regional Economic Development Authority.
Right.
That's no longer. That's in-house.
In-house.
Kingman had their own. That's now in-house.
Correct. And so if you look at those models and you look at other cities around us, how come they're becoming more successful in doing those things? And that's where I would want to see, before we just cut it off, to say, hey, let's see, is it a direction that they need? Is it, I don't know until I get in there, but, you know, there is some advantages to bring it in-house, because now their finger's on the pulse all the time with you to know which way they're going to go. And I really think, looking at those other two cities, which I have, bringing it in-house was the best thing they've ever done.
But that's the partnership.
Correct.
Now we're talking about Go Lake Havasu also. And it's like, whoa, wait a minute. Because international marketing for a destination, a vacation destination such as this, or an event destination, is a lot different than recruiting a business, and a lot more expensive.
Correct. And, you know, and is there avenues of that we haven't tapped with them that they can get better at advertising us and doing those things? And that's something that we would want to talk about. And making sure, you know, technology's changed and how we reach people has changed. And, you know, obviously, you know, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago, there wasn't a TikTok. There wasn't these things where this younger generation, and, you know, that happens all the time. You're like, what is this app now, you know?
Yeah.
And you try to catch up. So you really want to make sure that we're always up to date on those things, so they're reaching all of those type of people that... You know, I'm looking at a lot of the younger guys that are into cars, and they're into boats, and they're into these things. So we need to make sure wherever they're at, we need to market them and get them here.
What about the visitor center? Where does that stand as a in-house or not in-house type of deal? Is that an independent deal altogether when it comes to Go Lake Havasu?
No, I think that needs to be in-house. I really do.
Okay.
The visitor center should be, because not only do we want to give them the history, but we really want to give them everything that why they're visiting here and what is special to us. And I think, you know, as we grow and as things change here, we can always update that. And that way, when they come here to understand what we're all about and they're visiting us, that they see everything that we have. And I really think that should be in-house.
Okay. Go ahead, Jim.
When you say they're bringing them in-house, unless I'm mistaken, there isn't really a room in the house to bring them to.
Well,
you know, wouldn't you be replicating the people that are already there at Go Lake Havasu, for example, in order to be able to bring it, let's say, to City Hall?
Right.
You'd need to hire those functions done at City Hall.
The big difference is the board.
Correct. Right. And so they would be under our tutelage, where we would be with them, and
the board would be the council.
Correct.
Yeah.
And then we would be driving that next change in how we're going to be doing things.
Right.
Yeah, and that could well be.
Yeah.
That could well be a practical.
The big difference, though.
Correct.
That's the whole crux of the argument, in my opinion. I want to talk about, and I'm going to ask all the candidates this. I already asked one. Your social media. How big are you on social media, and how? Who controls your social media?
Well, I wasn't that big on social media. I mean, I did a little bit of Instagram or whatever. And, you know, Facebook's been around forever, and I really wasn't on it. Coming out here, man, everybody's on Facebook. And so I had to really get back in tune. And so, you know, my wife is my campaign manager, everybody knows, and she's more adverse in that because of the business and all that stuff. And it's not that I don't like being on social media. It's just that I've got other things that I'm doing. So I've had to get back into that. But, you know, social media is a big, big tool here. And as we talk about, you know, Go Lake Havasu, you know, that's the driving force, right? That's where everybody's at. I mean, these are now little computers in your hand. They used to not be like that. You know, I might date myself with a flip phone or whatever, but those things
I love mine.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, social media is huge. And, you know, you can there's good and bad with social media. You know, you can really reach everybody, but there's also a lot of things that are out there that are untrue, and you know, people think, oh, that's the truth. That is not the truth. And, you know, I'm still a big proponent, if you want to know something, call me. You know, well, just tell me here. No, call me, because, you know, you don't hear the passion, you don't hear the
boy,
you know,
howdy,
right? And, you know, you can read something. If I sent you a text, you would read it one way, and he would read it another way, and I'd read it another way, and yet it wasn't that way. And so I think that's getting to know people. You know, I mean, I remember if you wanted to get and hang out with a buddy. You went and rode your bike over there. You went down to his house and knocked on his door to see if he could play. Now they're on gaming and going, hey, you want to come outside? And
yeah, right. Need to, what's outside?
Right.
It's
yeah.
too hot. Yeah,
so, exactly. You know.
But when is it time to... Is it after the campaign, or do you just keep going the way you're going? When is it time to take the phone away? When is it time to put it down and say, okay, you know, let's let the city run the social media?
Well, you know.
If you're successful.
Right, and I think that there's a fine line and you know where you have a certain amount of time where you should be able to put the right individuals into those places that should be doing the right thing, and yes, you can monitor it, but they should be doing the right thing, and you're going to see those things, and so that way it's not overtaxing, and so you know you want to make sure that you have the right people in place and then that they know what they're doing. And so,
okay, I got you. What about upcoming meet and greets? Do you have anything planned?
I do.
I know you're really successful at that, or you seem to be.
Yeah. My next meet and greet, I'm going to be over at Starbucks on Wednesday, this Wednesday at from 6 to 8.
Which one?
The one over here on Lake Havasu Avenue.
Okay.
And the Smoke Tree. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be there and sit there. And
Swanson,
sorry.
Yeah.
And let people, you know, get to meet me and... And so I'm going to do that.
Is that a.m. or p.m.?
P.m.
P.m.,
it's
okay.
It's way too hot.
At what time again?
From 6 o'clock until 8 o'clock.
Oh, he's an early riser.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm at the gym at 4:30.
You know? Oh, I got you.
So, but no, yeah, that'll be in the evening. So that way people, if they're working, they can get off. And if they want to come over and have a chat before.
I got to ask this. I'm seeing it more and more and more and more. Everybody who thinks they're somebody anyway loves their golden ticket. They're attached to this golden ticket. Have you seen these?
I've seen
the pick for this every single
yeah,
office.
That's crazy to me.
Well, okay, perfect. Give me your opinion on the golden tickets.
Well, to me,
what are you gonna do? Take it into the voting booth with you?
Well, yeah. I mean, to me, that just is, in my opinion, is just ridiculous. It's you know, people have a mind and they know who they want to vote for, and they're doing their due diligence. Now they can read a lot of things, they can pull you up, they can figure it all out. I just think, to me, that's just not what I'm about. I'm about the substance, and if you know about me and you've seen my videos and you understand what I'm about, that I don't really think people really look at that too much. I mean, I think that's just somebody trying to have a ticket. And you know, and my personal opinion is,
you're okay.
I've talked to good folks that really wanted to know my vision and wanted to know how I'm going to be doing those things. And so I don't really think they're swayed one way or the other on this golden ticket thing.
Well, we have a phone call.
Sure.
Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Hi. Who are you speaking to?
Can we have you turn your radio down, please? And we're talking to John Grappentine. He is the riding candidate for Lake Havasu City Mayor.
Oh, Grappentine. Okay, I listen to you guys every day, and I don't hear the names often enough.
Okay.
So thank you very much.
Okay, you're welcome. John Grappentine, tell people, if you had to do it all over again, would you have gotten petitions instead of running as a write-in?
Well, of course, you know, and when I first looked at running, because I was doing my due diligence, like everybody should, you know, there's three candidates, let's be honest. I mean, you can check a box or you can write a name, and it's not that hard. We're in 2026, and I hear that a lot, and it's just, in my opinion, it's crazy, right? And so when I did look at running, I wanted to make sure I had things in place and what I wanted to do, because if I'm going to ask for somebody's vote, and they vote me in, they expect me day one to be off and running and doing what I've told them I'm going to do. So in doing that, when I did look, there was 4 weeks, and so I had to make an appointment. And I've already spoke about this a million times, but I had to make an appointment. By the time I was able to get my packet from the city clerk, she had advised me that it had only been 2 days, because on the initial website, it wasn't updated. So,
That's when the date moved.
Right, moved and stuff.
Right,
but that's okay. And so I said, well, I have a message, and I know what I want to run on. And to me, I did the same paperwork. The only thing is, I didn't, you know, get the signatures to stand out there. But it was like, okay, well, come talk to me. Let's talk about this. And you have plenty of time to learn my vision and see and who's going to run this city. You can. At the city level, you can really, really make a good decision or a bad decision for your next 4 years. And I wanted to make sure everybody understood that they could make a good decision and to see what I'm about. And so hopefully that has resonated and enough people have learned about me.
All right, perfect. What should folks do when they go to the ballot box? How do they write you in?
So at the very,
if they've never done this before,
right? So on the ballot, if you look at the ballot, it'll at the back of it. It seems like it's all on the back right now. They'll have the candidates' names: Cal Sheehy, Dave Johnson, and then there's another bubble with a line. You bubble that in, and you just write my name in.
Oh, it's right there.
Yep,
I got a sample ballot for you.
Yeah,
perfect. All right,
there it is.
Is it right there?
I got you
on the Republican one. I think it's flipped. I think it's right there on the flip side is the council races.
Oh, yeah, it's over here.
One of those. I don't know. Anyway, the funny thing is it's not in Spanish this year.
It's right there.
Perfect. Yeah. Nothing in Spanish this year.
Nothing in Spanish.
And it's hard to believe, isn't it?
It is.
We're one of three counties. I think Cochise just did it also.
Oh, really?
Yeah. All right, a little hammer to fall from Queen. John, thanks for being here.
Sure.
Appreciate you. Second time on the show. And again, it's John Grappentine, Grappentin.
Yes,
right?
Sir.
Grape and Tin.
Right.
If you were to have a winery, man, Grape and Tin.
I wouldn't be running for mayor.
That's right.
All right, he's writing candidate for Lake Havasu City Mayor. Thank you again for joining us.
Oh, thank you, Paul.
And I'll be back with more in a moment. I'll have a final shot when we come back. Stay with us on Speak Out. Alright, that's it for me. Sean Hannity coming up next after news and a short break on tomorrow's show. Incumbent council candidate Jenny Koch in the first half hour. Ashley Wood from River Cities United Way in the second. And again, Hannity's up next, preceded by Fox News. I'll see you tomorrow.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.